Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, February the 13th, 2026. Getaway Friday, Triskaidekaphobia, 11 minutes past the hour. Matt Morgan with me in studio. We may have this fixed. I don't really know, but let's give it a shot. This is Gordon Gee, interview, clip of the interview from yesterday. Let's see how this sounds.
I just want to go through a couple of these things that people are talking about, and you can say what you want about them or not what you want about them. You were on WOSU in January, and the quote that everybody is talking about is, you were talking about Les Wexner, who's in the news, and you said, this is cancel culture going wild. If you believe that there is even some scintilla of an issue, sometimes people just want to go to DEFCON 2, that's silly. People got angry about this. What do you make?
Well, I think that they didn't have a right to get angry. But they can get angry because that's what they do. Because people take great pride in seeing people who have achieved great things or have great work to see them fall. And, you know, of course, I know Mr. Wexner very well. I was on his board. He was the chairman of my board here. A few people know him any better, and I can say unequivocally that I think that he is a man of great values and great integrity, and we need to let the process play out. I mean, why would we ever condemn someone because of the fact that they associated with someone else? And we don't have an association with other things. So I do believe that we have this cancel culture, and I use it again. You know, people don't see the right thing, and all of a sudden they're a pariah. And people get bullied because of the fact that they don't think, even some people think they ought to think. The First Amendment is the First Amendment. And it needs to be, we need to reacquaint ourselves as an American public with the First Amendment, which is all about free speech, about the ability to be able to think and do and say what we want to say, to be able to be held responsible, but not to be given, a characterization in which there is no need to do so. If facts came out that were damning, I think we all know that Jeffrey Epstein was a terrible person, but he knew a lot of people who probably have no idea about all the things he was doing. And I don't think it's fair to condemn everyone who even had a relationship with him just simply because of the fact that he was a terrible person.
And I don't want to get too deep into this because I know there are some legal issues here, but the documentary last year, Surviving Ohio State, came out, and that now is a part of Mr. Wexner's history that he will have to in regard to that. Did you watch the documentary?
No, I didn't. No.
What do you just make of that whole story in general?
Well, I think, again, it's one of those things that I look back on, 30 years later, and obviously it's a terrible story, but it was something that if I would have been aware of it, I would have taken care of it. But obviously, in a very complex university, you're not aware of everything. There is no evidence whatsoever that my office knew anything about it. This one guy keeps saying that my name is mentioned 33 times in the Berkeley School. Probably it is, because I was president of the university. Your name is mentioned when you were president of the university. I mean, and so the fairness factor is very important. But I did not watch it, and I just don't talk about ideas that are being litigated right now.
But you did not know about it.
No.
And the other thing, and then we are going to get to education, because that is what I want to talk about here, just happened this week, and maybe this is just wrong place, wrong time, But people wanted to interview you earlier this week. We're taping this on Thursday afternoon. Some people who do blogs and I think a documentarian came up to you in a hallway. I think you had come out of the restroom, and a professor here had an altercation with one of those
people. Well, yeah, you know, I didn't quite see all of the altercation, but I do know that the bloggers were being extremely aggressive, to the point that they were obnoxious. And I think that's not fair, you know what I mean? So I had been teaching a class for 3 hours. I was teaching that class. And so I came out, went to the bathroom, and when I came out, and I was courteous to them. I just talked about civility earlier. I think that the young guy, the young faculty member, they really got in his face, and he was in role playing the Good Samaritan. I'm not condemning anyone, but I am saying that I think that incivility should not be rewarded.
We want to take a quick break here, come back with President Guy, and we're going to finish up the program right after this. We're going to talk education and maybe the future of journalism. That's something interesting.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Hey, we'll talk about that after this short but important break. You talked about it in the event that happened this week. What do you make of journalism today that doesn't request an interview like we have done and just meet you in a hallway?
As everything in life, there are really people who are absolutely superb. But what has happened with journalism is the fact it's no longer journalism. Journalism is about seeking the truth, not seeking a political opinion, not enhancing a political opinion. I think, for example, what we're doing right now, you're a great journalist because we had a discussion, you asked tough questions, but you did not put a spin on it that was defensive or offensive. And I think that what is happening so often right now is that the world of journalism, as defined by what would be a good journalism, really does not exist. And I'm talking about from the far right or from the far left. I'm not condemning one side or the other. I'm condemning the fact that I do not know what happened to seeking truth and power.
All right. Well, did you hear that? Okay. That was a little better. I think we got it a little cleaned up there. We'll have the full thing cleaned up tonight. But could you understand what Gordon Guy was saying? Give us a buzz. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz. We'd love to hear from you. I'll read the thing about the deal going on tonight, Matt.
Alrighty. At the Lee Street Presbyterian Church here in town, the Women's Association is going to be holding their annual soup supper from 4 to 7. They're going to be having homemade chili, vegetable and chicken noodle soup, and maybe potato soup, shredded chicken sandwiches, hot dogs, and desserts as well as drinks. The cost is a donation, and that's going to be tonight, 4 to 7 at 455 Lee Street and here in Marion. At the Lee Street Presbyterian Church.
It all sounds very good.
Well, I agree.
Sounds like good food.
I like chili. Chili's good stuff.
Now, do you think they'll have a big crowd there tonight? We can only hope, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you want them to do well.
Well, I'm sure they're going to do well. I mean, they run them a lot. So, I mean, I assume at this point people, consistency is key. If you don't do them often, then, people aren't going to know.
True. Now, do you think that there are a lot of people who have triskaidekaphobia?
I don't think there are a lot, but I mean, there's enough that there's no 13 floors, like 13th floor. You know, if there are 13 floors in a building, you go to floor 14.
Well, I wonder if anybody has that fear.
I'm sure there are people who have the fear. I mean, like I said, they don't get rid of the.
I mean, listening in the audience.
Elevators. Oh, listening in the audience.
I don't know if they do or not. I don't know. But you don't have that fear.
No.
What fears do you have?
I don't know. I don't like needles.
Why do you have that fear of needles?
What do you mean, why?
Yeah, why? I don't have that fear.
It's a tiny, sharp thing with a hole in it that they use to push liquid into your veins. I don't know. They stab you with it, and then they, I don't know. It's not my thing. I'm not big on needles. Needles make me uncomfortable.
Well, I understand, but it's a life-saving measure, I believe.
Well, if I'm dying, then I guess I'll feel free. But otherwise, I'm good on the needles.
Well, I guess that's one way to look at it. But I think that a lot of times these are things that you need. And well, how else would they do it?
I mean, like when I had surgery, you know, they put IVs in my arm and whatnot. And, you know, you have to have a needle to do that. So, like, I mean, you know. But, like, as far as, like I hate getting, I mean, I get vaccines. But, like, I hate getting them because, you know, I gotta get the shot. So, yeah.
Well, and Valentine's Day you're also not a fan of.
Yeah, but I just think that Valentine's Day is kind of pointless. I mean, like, you know, a lot of people make big, like, fancy plans on Valentine's Day. Like, you know, if you wanted to do it on Valentine's, like, why didn't you just do it, like, you know, like, you could just do it without it being Valentine's Day, you know that, right? And, you know, honestly, if you do it without it being Valentine's Day and just call it Valentine's Day, then you can just skip the busyness of Valentine's Day. Everybody's going to be doing something on Valentine's Day.
Well, I think a lot of people will actually do things tonight rather than Valentine's Day. So what's going to be on your show tonight?
Football. We're going to talk about football. We're going to talk about politics.
Football and politics.
We might talk about Nancy Guthrie. Nancy Guthrie, but, you know, that's...
Well, what do you make of where that went? The woman's still not found. We're about at 2 weeks now.
Well, I mean, you know, they have a, you know, a picture of a dude in a ski mask, I guess, so that's always interesting.
Yeah, but what's that going to do?
Well, I mean, you got, like, a body build now, and you can see his eye. Well, I mean, you can't see, like, I mean, you know, you get, like, eye shape, I guess. So, I mean, you know, you can get, like an estimate on height. I mean, it's useful information.
Well, it's useful information, but I don't know. This woman's been gone for an awful long time. I think there's going to be a lot of trouble here as we go down the highway.
Well, I mean, you know, I think that it's... I mean, I think it's unfortunate. I mean, the lady's... Hopefully she's doing well. I mean, I wouldn't think that they would harm her. Harming her does you no good. I mean, you can't get a ransom for somebody who's no longer around.
You know, I still think somebody internally has got to be involved here.
Well, I agree too. I mean, there's just too much what seems to be insider information.
Yeah, and I don't get that either. We're still trying to figure this out here. I don't know. Well, let's try this. Let's see how this sounds. Well, at least you're getting the information today, that's for sure. All right, let's give this a try again. See how this sounds. This version of the Gordon Gee interview.
I just want to go through a couple of these things that people are talking about, and you can say what you want about them or not what you want about them. You were on WOSU in January, and the quote that everybody is talking about is, you were talking about Les Wexner, who's at the news, and you said, this is cancel culture. That there is even some scintilla of an issue. Sometimes people just want to go to DEF CON 2 that silly. People got angry about this. What do you make?
Well, I think that they didn't have a right to get angry. But they can get angry. That's what they do. People take great pride in people who have achieved great things or have great work to see them fall. And, you know, of course, I know Mr. Wexner very well. I was on his board.
Well, I don't know if that was any better or not. What do you think?
I don't think that was any better.
No, I don't think that was any better. Kind of strange. You know, you learn a lot, though, by listening to this show. I'll say that. You know, they always want you to sign up for something. So they always want you to be on, like, their mailing list.
It's so they can sell your information to third-party services and make money off of you.
Yeah, but who do you think is, who would you say likes Valentine's Day more?
What do you mean?
Men or women?
Oh, women. Easy. Women. Women like the Valentine's Day.
Why do you think it's more of a woman's holiday?
Well, because I think that Jeff Jenna had it right with the joke he told when we went to Columbus to see Mike Larson perform. He said that men don't like Halloween and Valentine's Day for the same reason, and that's because you gotta get dressed up, pretend to be somebody you're not, and give away candy.
It is a good joke.
I think it's accurate.
It's a good joke. I think he was very, very funny. Jeff Jenna, that was his name, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. And you, where has he ever done anything big aside from play the comedy clubs?
It'd be the first time I've heard of the man, but no, I mean, he apparently gets a lot of the corporate gigs.
Well, the corporate gigs are good.
Well, yeah, I mean, corporations got the money, you know.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the way it goes, but I don't know. Valentine's Day to me just seems like a lot of trouble.
I agree.
I don't know why people get so hung up on Valentine's Day. Does anybody know why Valentine's Day is popular? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Is there any good reason to like Valentine's Day? I've never found one.
Yeah, I agree with you, yeah. I mean, you know, in school we used to give away, you know, the Valentine cards, I guess, the little Valentines.
Well, you know what? It all comes back to the simple question of what is love? Nobody knows.
Nope.
And as we've said before, you go from relationship to relationship, marriage to marriage, engagement to engagement. We don't know what love is.
I'd agree to that. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
We just like to have fun.
I think people I don't know. I mean, marriage rates used to work out, but, you know, marriage was also basically illegal at one point in time.
Well, I think people used to want to be married.
I think people
There's
still
too
want
many
to
other things
married.
Going on in the world now. People have a whole other thing going on.
I still
on.
Think people want to get married. If people didn't want to get married, they wouldn't get married. But I just think that...
I think they want to get married for different reasons.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Because I know darn well people do not want to be spending time with certain people. Apparently the story on Channel 6, though, was about still the auditing problem.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's never been fixed.
Well, no, that's...
You know, wouldn't you get worried after a while if that story kept coming down?
Well, you would think so.
Mary's saying she doesn't have to cook. Well, that's a good reason for Valentine's Day. I think.
But again, what does it have to do with Valentine's Day? Why don't you just go out to dinner some other night and then not cook then? And then look at that. Valentine's Day solved. It just doesn't seem like a Valentine's Day kind of a thing. Valentine's Day is just going to make it busy.
I don't know.
I mean, I'm not...
Good for business.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's what it is. I think it's good for business.
Well, yeah, but isn't that the point? I mean, I don't think anybody's denying that that's the point.
Well,
aren't birthdays good for business? Christmas good for business? Thanksgiving good for business? Halloween good for business? St. Patrick's Day good for business? I mean, all these things are good for business.
Sure.
They're just reasons for people to celebrate.
Reason for people to spend money.
Well, no, you don't have to go out, but most people like to.
Well, I mean, I guess.
I don't know. I just think that when it comes to Valentine's Day, there's a little bit of a false impression. Because I think most men don't even realize it's Valentine's Day till they walk into a store.
Well, the other night, We were talking to somebody, and somebody had mentioned Valentine's Day coming up, and the other person was like, oh, I knew I was freaking, you know, then, oh, you saved me.
But it hasn't happened yet.
No, but, you know.
So we still have a couple days.
Well, you know, they apparently forgot about Valentine's Day.
You know, what do you think people will do tomorrow? Do you know of any women who don't like Valentine's Day? They might say they don't like Valentine's Day, but I think they do.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I don't see why they wouldn't, I guess.
There's always something there. There's always, I don't know what that is. There's some kind of fascination with Valentine's Day.
Well, I think it's, you know, the, like, quote-unquote love holiday. But it's a scam. To make you spend
now,
money.
When you say scam, what do you mean?
I just mean that it's just a way for you for them to get you to spend more money. There's no real point behind Valentine's Day.
You don't think?
I mean, like I said, I gave the history of Valentine's
you know
Day
what?
Earlier, and I'm pretty sure that's all myth. I don't think there's any like actual history to that.
But is there any real sincerity in life in general? That's what this really is all about. Are you sincere when you say you love that person? Are you sincere when you give them something? Are you sincere? I don't know if there's a whole lot of sincerity in life.
Well, I mean, maybe. Well, I think people are do what they think is best for them, ultimately.
Hey, you know, yesterday when we were driving back from Columbus, we saw some Ben Weber for state represent. Big signs.
We did, yes. Two or three of them.
You know, I think Ben's chances in that race are pretty good.
I think so.
I do. I think that I think he would probably be considered the establishment.
I'd agree with that, yeah. We worked in the state house and whatnot with, I don't know, some people.
He's an attorney.
Yes.
Young family. I think appealing. I think that's appealing to a lot of people.
Maybe.
I mean, I don't know. It seems that it might be appealing to a lot of people. And I just haven't heard a lot from Stephen Wolf ever since he announced his candidacy. And we're like 3 months away from the primary here.
Yeah. Well, you know, he got in kind of late, you know, I think, I mean, it's not like there's a whole lot of money in the race, I guess, as far as, you know, like, PACs or whatever, but, you know, he got in late. I mean, I don't know what all endorsements have already been given out, but I doubt anybody's going to recant, so.
Well, then you've got Weslin Davis.
Yeah.
Who I think really does want to win. I mean, I think she.
I'd say so.
Yeah, and I think she's putting a lot of effort into it. I just think there's a little, what would you say? I think there, for some reason, people have a dislike of her, and I don't know what that is. I never had an issue with her.
Yeah, I never had a problem with her. She was, you know, nice enough, I guess.
But everybody I talk to seems to have some kind of issue with her. She's seems to be a polarizing personality. Either they like her or they really don't like her.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
So I think she's got that problem working against her. And a lot of that probably has to do with the Tracy Richardson campaign, where it got kind of nasty.
Well, you know, I think that anytime you go after I don't know, I think anytime a nasty campaign is run, I mean, nobody comes out of it looking clean. It's just mudslinging.
So, there you have it. And we'll see what happens when the primary happens on, in early May. Now, you've got, I think it's Cinco de Mayo, a matter of fact. Now, in the commissioner's race, you've got a four-way split for the Republican spot. You've got Jason Schauber, and you've got Ken Stuyvesant, and you've got, Mrs. Neff.
And that's the election, right? Because there's no...
No Democrat at this point. No independent at this point. You never know, though.
Well, we'll find out, I guess.
And there's another... Mooney. Mr. Mooney.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know how that's going to go. It it seems like you have three establishment Republicans there, and then you have Jason, who is a Republican, but not part of the establishment.
Well, I guess, I don't know, I guess it depends on how that whole thing plays out, and if the, you know, Marion GOP opts to endorse somebody, or how, what, like they did with, I don't know, the Ralph Smith campaign. So I guess it depends on how that whole thing works.
Here's somebody walking through the hallway. That was a heavy walking going on in the hallway.
Yes.
Now, the other night we had an issue with friendship. Now, I'm not going to get into the particulars, but how do you choose your friends?
Well, I don't know.
When there's a problem, clearly a problem in your friendship, what how do you repair it? How do you go about fixing it?
Well, I mean, you know, you gotta ask him what the problem is. I mean, you know, if you don't know what the problem is...
No, you know what the problem is.
Well, then I guess you'd have to know...
Do you tell people the truth is what we're really getting at here. If you know what the problem is, if somebody's angry at you because they asked your opinion on something, and you gave them a truth that they did not want to hear, and they get angry about that, what do you do?
Well... one of my favorite sayings of all time is, you know, don't ask if you don't want the answer. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but people say that, but.
I think if you're going to ask me for my opinion and you genuinely want my opinion, then I give you my opinion, you get upset about it, then don't ask me for my opinion again.
Right, but if it happens, then what?
I ask them why they're upset, I guess. What happened?
See, I do that all the time. I really do try to give people my genuine opinion.
What did I say to upset you?
But a lot of times you know what it was.
Then why'd they ask for your opinion?
Yeah, but that's not going to fix the problem. So if you want to fix the problem, how do you go about fixing the problem?
I don't know. Move on. That's always a good way to go about life.
You know, it was sad this week. I'm sure you never saw Dawson's Creek. But the star of Dawson's Creek, James Vanderbeek, died at 48. Colon cancer. So sad.
The lead singer of Three Doors Down died of some kind of cancer as well.
Yeah, but what I'm talking about is James Vanderbeek. So...
Well, it's similar, same thing.
Right, but so what are the thoughts?
Sad.
It's sad, but is life measured by years or what you do with the time you're here?
Well, both, I guess.
I don't know that it's measured by years. I know a lot of people who lived a long life, didn't do anything.
Yeah.
And then a lot of time they get...
But if you're 48 years... Or sorry, if you live like 48 years like this fellow and you do a lot, I mean, you know... That's good and all, but he could have done a lot more had he lived like 80 years. So his overall experience was still cut short.
I don't know if that's true, though. Because you think you can do that, but you can't. You can't always stay at the same pace that you're at.
Well, I didn't say that, but I mean, you can still do things.
And people like, you know, yesterday we were talking about Martin Luther King. If Martin Luther King had lived to be in his 90s... He could not have, there would not be a Martin Luther King Day. He would not be considered in the same light that he is now.
You don't think so?
No.
I mean...
That wouldn't have happened in his lifetime.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the I Have a Dream speech was a pretty big thing.
No, but
thing, you know?
That's...
And like, he was the, you know...
It wouldn't have happened.
I don't know.
Kennedy would not be considered as great as he is if he had lived into his
90s. I mean, people still know who, like, Malcolm X is.
Well, he was assassinated, too.
Oh, well.
I'm talking about...
I see, well...
Right. Again, when you live a long time, and you're there a long time, that's why people say, I want to leave, while people say, that person's still good. You don't want them to say, why is that person still here?
Well, I mean, I think if you want to still be there, then I don't think it really matters.
Well, it does, because it does hurt your legacy. They go, well, they stayed around too long.
Well, I mean,
they say that about sports people. They
yeah,
say
I mean,
that
I can
about,
think about it. I can think about some people who probably stayed around.
Right. So, no, I do not believe there would have been a Martin Luther King Day in his lifetime. Now, maybe after his lifetime. But it certainly would have dimmed his accomplishments, because he would have had a lot more time to screw up. And we would have seen him become diminished.
Like Harding?
Well, no. I mean, you just, the older you get, you're not going to be giving as many speeches.
Well,
I mean,
yeah,
what are you going to do?
Like Harding was a popular kind of fellow until
he died young, too.
Well, yeah, but then all of a sudden, you know, we found out that, you know, he had a couple things, and you know.
No, I'm talking about the diminishments that just come with age.
Like what?
Memory. You're slower. You can't do as many things as you used to do.
Oh, well.
The
yeah.
fact that you're still there.
But that,
if you can still go see the person,
but that doesn't have
they're
to
not
say.
A mythical person. As if, you know, you have never met Martin Luther King. Never going to meet Martin Luther King.
Mm-hmm.
Not going to happen. It's sad that your life is cut short, but it also, your best years, your peak is there.
I don't think you want to be cut in your peak.
You don't want to be cut in your peak, but I'm saying the longer you go, the worse it does get.
Well, I mean, you go up and then you go down. That's the way it works, you know.
Yeah, well, but it doesn't if you leave early.
I don't know.
I don't think you fully understand this.
I mean, I get what you're saying, but, like, I don't know. I mean, you know, I'd rather that, you know.
Jesse Jackson is a good example. Jesse Jackson, considered a very, very strong person in the civil rights movement. Jesse Jackson's still alive. Jesse Jackson went on to do a lot of things, run for president, not win, not get past the primaries. So he's got a son, ended up going to prison. He's got a whole list of problems throughout his life. Muhammad Ali, who people consider the greatest sports figure of all time, got Parkinson's. We saw him diminish over the years. You know, even though you still think his greatness is great, you saw the decline. You saw I wish he'd have gotten out of boxing earlier. So that's what doesn't happen.
Well, I mean, it's sad to watch somebody who was so great become not so great anymore. But I think it's more sad to watch somebody who is so great become no longer great because their life was cut short.
Yeah, but how do you know the difference? You don't know the difference because you don't know what their life would have been.
Well, I mean, you could, it's like, well, you can, you know, estimate.
I'm telling
assume,
you.
It's like math.
Time is not important. At one point, you just become a fixture. You've been there a long time. You're still there. You're a fixture. You can keep doing more of the same, but you've hit your peak. You're not going to peak again. So, I don't think time is the greatest measurement. I think James Vanderbeek will be remembered as a very, very strong, popular actor.
Well, I don't think time is the best measurement.
No, but I think if he'd lived another 40 years, which I'm sure he would have liked to, I don't think it's going to hurt or help him.
Well, I mean, him as in his image or him? I mean, you know.
Either one. How about this? How about this Norwegian athlete who confessed to cheating on his girlfriend?
Why?
He did it at a press conference.
Why'd he do that?
Well, I think he was apologizing.
On a press conference?
Yeah. Well, he did it in front of everybody.
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, I guess that's the, yeah, that's what I would do, I guess. I don't know how you get caught doing all that, but that's a lot of work.
I don't know. I think that's interesting. I don't think I would confess. Well, I don't think I've ever cheated on anybody.
You already got caught.
Yeah, but you don't want to put that out there in front of the media like that.
Well, the media caught you.
Right, but you don't have to go into a press conference and say, I'm sorry, I did the wrong thing.
Blah, blah, blah. I don't know why he did it in a press conference. Like, I mean, you know, you could have just reached out to, like, your girlfriend, wife, you know, significant other, that kind of thing.
Matt needs to learn the phrase, I see your point. That's food for thought.
I mean, that's
from one of our listeners.
That's what I said. I said, I see what you're saying.
See, they see that you're argumentative.
But, it just seems like you're making it out to be like time is a guaranteed. You diminish over time, but that doesn't have anything to do with, like, you know, you're again. Muhammad Ali is still considered, like you said, the greatest sports person of all time.
Part of his story is the diminishment. I'm not saying anybody.
Do you think he'd be more legendary if he just, like, got into a car accident and died or something while he was at the peak of his boxing career?
Maybe. I don't think he would have wanted that, but maybe.
Well, of course he wouldn't want that.
Yeah. Most of the people who are very well known who are assassinated are canonized. Look at all the picadillos that John Kennedy had. Cheated on his wife many, many times.
Yeah, but Marilyn
lied about his health. Really put us on the brink with the Cuban Missile Crisis, far worse. Now, think if he actually had to answer for that. Think if he actually had to answer for the affairs.
So what?
He would not be seen in the same light. Plus, what would his presidency have been like?
Well,
don't know. Could have been bad.
No, a lot of people thought he was a good president.
Because of the drama of what... He is the only person, thank God, to ever be assassinated president in the modern era of television.
Is television what constitutes the modern era?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because, what, are you going to watch somebody assassinated on radio?
Well, I mean...
Bang! There it was.
Well, I mean, you don't get to watch it, I guess, but it's the same concept.
No, but everybody was watching that unfold. I mean, it was... People remember the date!
Was it televised? Like the presidential procession thing?
No. But the funeral was.
Well, I figured.
And it was the first. So, you know, he was canonized in that. The eternal flame, you think that would have happened in Arlington? Had he not been assassinated like that? Youngest president ever assassinated? It was great drama.
Great drama.
People know the date that he was shot. November 22nd, 1963. Do you know the date he was born? No.
Well, I couldn't have told you either of those.
Well, people know that date.
I'm sure there are people who know when he was born, too.
Not like the date he died.
Maybe not.
And we all remember the little son saluting the coffin as it went by. You know, it's just dramatic. It's unfortunate that it has to be that way, but, you know, it is. Martin Luther King, certainly canonized in his death. You probably know more about Malcolm X had he lived to be an old man because of his assassination at a young age. Bobby Kennedy, same thing.
Both of the Kennedys got both of them. That's crazy.
And you see Ted Kennedy, who went on and lived a long life, who became a great legislator and ran for president. He's not seen in the light of his brothers, but he had double the lifespan that they had.
Well, did he do what they did?
He stayed in government for 40-something years, was the senator from Massachusetts. He tried to get national health care. He ran for president against Jimmy Carter. He did a lot of things, but he's not canonized like Bobby Kennedy and Jack Kennedy.
I guess.
And he went on into his 80s and kept working and doing and getting elected and was on television. And, you know, it's just something about that people don't see in the same way. It's not dramatic.
What happened to the Kennedy people? Are they still in office? Are there any Kennedys in office?
Yeah, now? I think there's somebody who, I think there's a Schlossberg who is, I think, I don't know if it's Jack, I forget who it is. Jackie Kennedy's grandson, maybe? Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, what hurts Ted Kennedy was that
Chappaquiddick.
Had that woman in the car, and she drowned. He didn't call the cops right away. I mean, that's the stain on Ted Kennedy. I think that's the reason why he never won the presidency.
Right, but I'm saying Jack Kennedy clearly had affairs. Bobby Kennedy clearly had affairs. Bobby Kennedy worked for Joe McCarthy during the witch
Red
hunt.
Hair?
Yeah, and we don't do that with them. They don't get that.
Well, I didn't know that.
Day, the affairs wasn't dwelled on by the press as much.
No, but had John Kennedy lived into his 80s, had he lived
I think you're right there, yeah.
Yeah, he would have been diminished.
You know, there's a lot of people that die young, and Elvis.
Elvis, you're exactly right. And think if Elvis would have went on performing.
Been as popular today as he
Don't
was
you know Elvis is still alive in, like, Cuba or whatever?
What's that?
You think Elvis would be as popular
No.
today if he hadn't died the
Nope.
way he died in the controversy?
Same thing with Michael Jackson. Same thing
Yeah.
with John Lennon. I'm saying you don't want these people to die young.
I don't know. Elvis was really, like, you know, one of the biggest of all time. Michael Jackson's one of the biggest of all time.
Michael Jackson had just been tried in the last 10 years for child molestation.
Yeah, I know about
in
that.
In a trial that was on national television that we all watched.
Yeah.
He was not seen at the time that he died as a great person.
Well, I didn't say great.
No,
the great
but once he died.
But once he died, we forgot all that.
Forgotten about.
No, yeah. There's no we about it. I know about it.
But it's not brought up.
Well, I don't know.
It would be brought up if he was still around.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And the same...
He might be in prison.
And Elvis was already on the downhill slope. He was not drawing the crowds he was.
Didn't Elvis die on the toilet?
See?
Well,
who
he
knows?
Was fat and, you know, letting himself go, and I think that hurt, you know, his... attendance at concerts and stuff too, but
right. And John Lennon, they were about to throw out of the country. They were in the process of throwing him out of the country when he was killed.
Why?
Because he was not an American citizen.
So?
And they felt that he was being
citizenship.
Huh?
They never got their citizenship.
Well, I don't know if any of them did, but I know John Lennon did not, and they felt that he was being I forget what the issue was there. See, you even forget why it was going on, but there was a big issue because he was trying to plead his case to stay in America.
I would have let him stay. I mean, you know, this is John Lennon.
Yeah, but John Lennon would not be seen as anybody better than the other Beatles at this point.
Well, I'd be all right with that.
It's a very... All I'm saying is, I don't know if longevity is a great measurement of anything. If James Vanderbeek died at 48, do you wish he'd have had more time? Well, sure. But does it really hurt him in the long run? Probably not. If he had a good life, he had a good life.
Well, I'd agree, yeah.
Well, what age do you have to be to say, well, it's okay that they're dead?
Well, I mean, I don't think there's an age, but I know that, you know, sometimes there are people who pass away, and then people are like, you know, they lived a long life.
I don't know. I'm starting to hear...
I think it's just like a comforting thought, you know?
You can be in your 70s now and people go, young.
Well, I don't know about all that. I mean, you know, the average life expectancy is still something like 78, so, you know, yeah.
What age is... are you ready for Valentine's Day?
No.
What, when you make a friend angry and you know that you've done it, how do you work your way out of it?
Apologize, and they don't accept it. There's not much you can do. What are you going to do? Start throwing money at them, or
well, what if you meant what you said?
Every time you go anywhere, or, you know.
But what if you meant what you said?
What if I meant what I said? Then I wouldn't apologize.
Right, but you know it made him angry. You didn't want to make him angry, but you know, you meant what you said.
I would just speak my piece. If they wanted to be friends after, still, you know, consider us friends, fine. But if they didn't, you know, like I told you before, you know, a measure of a man is when he can admit his faults. You know, I apologized many times to people. I realized I was wrong, you know, and I go ahead and apologize. But I know people that would never, ever apologize at all. You know, my mom once told me that I was the only child that they had that ever apologized, you know, for anything they've done. You know, and if you can't, well, look at our pedophile in chief. You know, he's one example. He can't apologize for nothing. He can't take responsibility for any of his faults. You know?
Well, there are a lot of people like that, though.
Oh, yeah, there are. And that does, but that does, a measure of a man is not, you know, measured in that, you know, capacity, I don't think. I mean, if you're somebody can never ever apologize or never ever admit you was ever wrong on anything, I mean, you got a problem because we're human. We make mistakes. You know, and that's part of life.
That's true, but so what do you make of the dust up in the hallway at Ohio State?
I didn't hear about it. Is there a reason?
The professor that threw down the documentarian who was trying to talk to Gordon Gee.
Oh, I haven't heard about that. I've heard some of your interview with Gordon Gee, but I didn't.
Could you make it out okay?
Yeah.
Oh, good. So it came out better.
Yeah.
Okay.
When did you do that interview?
Yesterday.
You drive to Columbus to do that or on the phone?
Nope, we went down there.
Oh.
Yeah. He's a very nice man. Very, very, very nice man.
Well, I think he did a lot for Ohio State. And he did more for fundraising for Ohio State than any other president they've had.
He did. He did. There's no doubt about that.
Well, that's always
and,
good.
You know, people loved him, the students, and, you know, I hate to see him go when he, you know, when he left. That was almost like a case with Jim Tressel. You know, he did a lot for the football program. He won a national championship and then, you know, a little controversy, you know, cost him. But I think, you know, if he would have stayed a coach, he probably would have won a championship again.
You know, it's very interesting because I talked to Gordon Gee yesterday. I mean, the full interview will air next week. But we talked about his thoughts on Jim Tressel becoming lieutenant governor. We talked about him leaving Ohio State the second time under unfortunate circumstances and coming back now. We talked about why he was so popular, why he felt he was so popular. We talked about a lot of this stuff in the interview. I mean, it's not just the 6 minutes that we played this morning. There's a lot to that interview. And it's a very revealing, interesting interview.
But when are you going to replay it in its entirety?
It'll probably be early next week. I want to run it through. It needs a... there was a heating system running in the room. I want to clean up the audio on it before we play it. So hopefully I'll get that done this weekend, and then we'll play it early next week.
But how are you going to clean up the audio?
There are programs now that do that pretty well. Plus, there's a video of it as well. So I got to clean up the audio on the video. And then that'll also be available on YouTube. So you'll get to see the interview as it happened.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah, so there's an audio version and a video version.
Yeah, it'd be real cool.
Yeah, so stay tuned for that.
Okay.
All right, thanks. All right, we're going to take a break here, and we've got Pastor Whitaker coming up when we come back. He is in the studio today. Glad to have him back. And this will all happen on the other side of this short but very important break. And then we'll be back 12:15 to 1 today. And, of course, tonight we'll be on 8:15 to 10, and then 10:15 until 11. But I'll tell you, those audio cleanup programs are something. Technology galore. We'll be back right after this.
Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmission.